think it's over now.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Good afternoon. It's 2:02 or 2:00. In the afternoon. Make sure my phone is off. Tuesday, March 10th, 2020. We have a quorum. Where am I at? Okay. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Adopt the agenda.
Before we do that, are we modifying the agenda, Barbara?
No.
Okay. Never mind. Make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Public forum. Items that are not on the agenda. Seeing none. Proclamations and presentation. Is he here today? He's not here. Tom Crawford or
Sarah?
Okay. Pass that along. Consent calendar. Two of the minutes, February 11th, 2020.
I'd like to change A1, 5B2, and C.
Is that 5A1?
5A1, 5B2, and C.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
I can make a motion that we accept the meeting minutes for 5A2 and 5B1.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay.
So 5A1, page 4 of 16. That's 5B1 for the checks. The check number should be 30669.
Instead of 30699?
Yes.
30, say it one more time for me.
30669.
Okay.
And then if we could also add, this is in reference to the 2018 Main Canal Reliability Project.
Okay. So that particular check?
Both of them were.
Okay.
Yep.
Anyone else?
I make a motion we accept the minutes. 5A1.
All in favor?
I'll second that.
Oh, okay. Dane?
Yes, sir. Fine.
You accept the minutes?
Yeah, fine. Okay. Yes.
Okay.
And then 5B2. Go to page 1, which check 3076, kind of on that, so 0. So that's, this ties in with our last board meeting where it was on the discussion of the leakage policy, the shutoff policy. Mm-hmm. And it was on the, we didn't know how much it was going to be for the translation services, so this is the translation service cost here, which is $2,046.06. So that's from the January 14, 2020 meeting by the PG, so we'll have to just add that to the budget because we didn't have the budget item for that.
Okay.
So you're not changing anything on this?
No. So what happened in our item 8G, it said fiscal impact and it was unknown at the time because we had to add on the translation service and we didn't know how much it was going to be. So we just have to add that on to our budget for the translations on this, so just point that out.
Okay, but that has, okay.
But we're not changing anything, we just need to note it for when we update the budget.
Okay, you don't necessarily have to pull it from the consent calendar to make that note for future reference.
That's 5B2.
You want to do C also?
Yep. Okay, I make a motion we accept 5B2.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. 5C. More stuff of this will come up when I also do my report, but I talked with Adam over this. If he can just go over what the latent demand is.
Yeah, latent demand is the existing parcels that haven't been built out, so within our district boundaries.
So that pretty much is the potential acre feet that we can have. And the other question was, does the residential commercial go down all the way? So I know we can follow it for treated and construction and untreated. Does that go down with latent as well, or?
So can
we tell which one is residential or commercial
you'd probably have to look at county records or something like that to really figure that out. But it's based on estimate, like I said, in the bottom is half an acre foot, so mm-hmm.
That's all I had on that.
Okay, just one clarifying question then.
Sure.
So, Adam, so the column headings do not follow down through, correct?
No.
Okay.
This up top, this the three up top do.
Okay.
And then as you get down, they don't. So, yeah.
No. Okay, because we actually do have some commercial lots that have inactive meters on them. So I was just wondering why those might not be counted if that follows down suit. But okay, that explains it. Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay.
For me.
Oh, I'm sorry. One other question. Adam, this report's based on a calendar year or fiscal year?
Calendar year.
Good. Okay, I did have that right. Great. Thank you. Okay, that's all I have.
I'll make a motion. You accept 5C?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Love it.
You had to say that, didn't you?
Don't jinx it.
A little too premature there.
Yeah, right.
Never said a Q word, right?
Great check. Do you have any bank robberies today? All of a sudden you have bank robberies. I remember those days. Informational items. Board reports. Dave, do you have anything?
No.
Yep, and there's a copy and it's present for everybody. Mm-hmm. So the LAFCO meeting that I attended didn't have anything that affected the water district directly. However, the impacts of there was increase in the fee for State Water Resource Control Board permits. So that's affecting places that have a special district for parks and recs because all their lakes are under permits as well, and those fees are going up, which is impacting their budgets. The work group attendances for the California Department of Water Resources, so this is in regard to the water conservation bills, AB 1668 and SB 606, which is an effort to get all of our... Basically, what happened was when the drought affected certain districts that ran out of water, this was one way to make sure that the districts are being able to proactively look at to make sure they're sustainable, make sure they're reliable, and give the Department of Water Resource a way to track the water supply and demand for each district and have them proactively project availability of water for upcoming years. So the purpose of going to all these, there's 12 different work groups. I attend all 12 of them. And the purpose is to advocate and provide input and feedback to DWR, which will help the recommendations for the upcoming legislations. So it's representative of our water district, the region, the mountain rural water districts, and our county. So to gather information for the district to keep us apprised of upcoming changes in guidelines, rules, procedures, policy, and planning. So the landscape area measurement project technical work group meeting, that one's based off of MWELL. That's the model working for water efficiency and landscape ordinance. And basically what this does is it has each district kind of work on a budget, and the budget's going to comprise all sorts of indoor usage, outdoor usage, and this one looks at outdoor usage with a crazy computer model, which is a Google Earth shot of the district, and it automatically will calculate what's irrigable, not irrigated, but irrigable, and non-irrigated. So those are the different things that it looks at, and this was the first output of the study. And basically they had maybe 10 districts with 225 parcels that they looked at. And one of the significant things for the board to note is the district that closely represents us is South Lake Tahoe, and the area that the study did compared to what the actual value is grossly underestimates the square mileage of irrigable. So this was off by a factor of 60 square miles out of the small amount that they looked at. And that would be the amount of water that you're budgeting for, which would be reduced. So that's one thing that we need to look for in the future. That I have the actual program on my computer, so one of the things I wanted to request was to be able to work with the staff, the appropriate staff that's going over this, so they understand how it works, and in terms of disputes, when that comes up, how to work the dispute system, because any budget we don't get with water, it's going to affect the amount we can sell, so. Mm-hmm. And also,
So why don't you and I coordinate on that, and we can talk with mm-hmm. Adam, and you know, that sounds like something that we should really be on top of.
Mm-hmm. And also the significance of the variances. So I keep reminding the director that we're available as a district for a study for the livestock study, because a lot of land that shows it's brown and doesn't have any irrigation, if it has horses and livestock, it gets water. What's the impact of that? And we have a district where a lot of people have horses and livestock, so that number may be effective for us. And that was pretty much it. So there's still further work on the study that needs to be done, and hopefully they'll expand it to different areas before they roll it out. Then yesterday I attended the annual water supply and demand assessment workshop, and Adam was at that one with me. And this was the initial kickoff to help DWR develop their guidance for the upcoming annual water supply and demand assessment, which is going to need to be submitted to DWR July 1st each year. This also has a direct tie-in with our urban water management plan, and that's due for July 1st, 2021, because the methodology that's used to determine the annual assessment has to be included in the UWMP along with the detailed written decision-making process, key data inputs, and who's responsible for making the decisions. They also want to have a projection in it as well for the next year in terms of water availability. And I have the key dates listed there on when they're due, so the one this year is optional, then 2021 is when they want the submission in. That kind of reflects the procedures that's going to be in your urban water management plan, and July 2022 is when the actual WSDA goes in. The key points I had is this also ties in with the drought contingency planning, and there's new legislation which requires that our guidelines for that be cross-referenced to the state's six-stage planning. So we have four stages in our urban water management plan now, which we just can cross-reference. So like our stage one would be the state stage one or two. And what that lets it do is it lets us remain independent of the state. So if the state mandates that conservation is at 30%, and our stage reflects we're 15%, ours would override the state's. Also, the next year projection component, based on the next year being dry, One of the good recommendations was to have a scheduled timeline with initial review, then revised, and then your final determination for your plan of action for the upcoming water year. So we know in our district, our plan is the second week of April is when you get the levels in Stumpy Meadow, and that determines our plan of action based on our urban water management program. And one of the recommendations was to have those steps earlier before it gets to that. So if it's looking like there's going to be an action, you can alert the public beforehand before it's enacted. Some things that also came up is the need to consider possible changes in our urban water management plan with subsequent dry years, which may alter our trigger points. So we have something at 17,000 acre feet, but what if you're at 17,000 in the end of December at 1 year, and then there is no rain and you're still at 17,000? Do you want to alter that looking ahead to a dry year where you got no water? So now you kind of have to project down. Will we be at 15,000 at the start? So those were one of the things to implement if you want to have multiple options or triggers that way. And something that will come up with right now are connections. If it gets to the point of severe drought, the board can determine not to have any new connections. However, we have a bunch of residents within the district, which are not customers, that could be impacted by loss of well water. And if that group of individuals become classified as a disadvantaged or underserved community, then we may be required to annex them in terms of a drought where they have no water, which will affect the ability of our supply and demand because we'd be mandated to add those connections. And the same can occur if it happens with people outside of our district. We may be mandated to annex them in. So those are some things we need to look at with the legislation to add to our urban water management plan. So the issues I had with staff is I wanted to meet with Adam to go over our notes because I know he's looking at it from the reporting side and I was looking at it from the board and legislative side. And another thing is if we're going to do this in-house, it's all on Adam, so I suggest doing an ad hoc committee where we can have people looking at the different areas to help work on him because we have plenty of time now, but we also have limitations in resources and time, and it's one person and he's got other stuff he has to do as well. And if we're going to outsource it like we did last time, then we want to plan the timing well enough so we get the RFPs out so everything is done in time for us to review and finalize the draft well before it's due.
So thank you. That's very timely. And we were just talking about the urban water management plan and how it needs to be renewed. So this is a good time. So let's coordinate and work with staff.
I would make a note and make sure the drought contingency plan is consistent with the urban water management plan, which is not currently.
Yep.
Correct. And Mike, thanks for putting all this together and attending these workshops, because this issue of annexing folks in, if they become classified as a disadvantaged, where we're going to be required to do that, is going to take some forethought and some planning and some resources to do that.
Aware of that is because I go to all the different work groups, so that there's not even coordination between the same people working in DWR. So Fatima is working on that, and they have a whole study and a bunch of stuff planned where that the annexation has to be automatic because there was a whole bunch of people that lost water or lost quality where once the wells go down a certain level, now the sediment affects the PFAS and that water quality now makes it unusable. So
right.
There's a lot of effects that occurs with us. So it's
right.
Interesting what's coming down the pipeline.
Because you can imagine that we're not going to only annex them in, but we're going to have to lay pipe to get the water to them.
Which we can't.
So
we can't do that. It's not going to happen.
There's a lot of problems.
Yeah, there's a lot of challenges with that.
That was exactly what I asked to say. Who's paying for that?
Exactly.
So
if we went through this, we went through this in 2015.
They're working on the financial end of those forced, I don't call it forced annexations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole different part of it that's the financial end.
Right.
This is all what we went through in 2015.
There's grant money available for that as well.
So it's coming back around again.
Especially if they're disadvantaged.
Right. Yeah, but you're not forced to spend the district money to pipe them.
Right. And we went through this whole thing in 2015.
Right.
With the emergency response, or management plan, plus the drought plan. And in our plans, it says if they're not the same, one, you know, goes over the other one. And it worked out great. And
right. You know, we implemented our plan.
Yeah. And it worked really well. And the people with wells that ran out of water,
the
problem is they're far from our pipeline. So a lot of them just came and bought water out of hydrants and, you know, had potable water trucks just take it to their house.
That was exactly the plan, that to have that proactive, have the county plan in place for that same thing for people on wells who are not in the district, in terms of how do they purchase and get that system in place, which will be better for the district than having to try and pipe them. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I had is we're having our March Town Hall, March 28th, St. Patrick's, corned beef and cabbage. So come for dinner, 5 to 7. It's going to be at Cool Community Hall with Director Garcia and Saunders, and then we'll go over some of the upcoming legislative stuff and some of the capital improvement projects and other issues, cross-connection as well.
Thank you. Cindy?
I just have two items on here. One, Jeff and you and I have already talked about this, following up with Mr. Wallace, who called me again last night. I think you and Daryl are working on that. The other is, I've heard from two community members who recently installed their cross-connection device, their RP device, the reduced pressure valve, and they met with a consultant who said that he had an option, and so he's asking me about the option of putting in a double check valve versus the RP valve. So when I talked to this person, I think, Daryl, I gave you his business card, mm-hmm. Mike McDonald. He directed me to the sections in the plumbing code where it looks like there is a possible choice. He would like to share his information with you about the work that he did down in the city of Jackson to get it approved by the water authorities and the oversight authority down there, so that people could put in the double check underground, prevent it from freezing, vandalism, and being run over by their horse trailers, that sort of thing. The other person I heard back from was the lady who was told by the installation company, I believe it was DRI, who said that he recommended that because of the area that it needed to be installed, it would be in the way of her circular driveway and her horse trailer, that she come to the water district to get a waiver. She hasn't heard about that follow-up issue on the waiver, so she's calling me again last night to ask. So can I give you her information today after the meeting and have you follow up with her?
Sure, and I will coordinate with Daryl on the pressure relief valve, and there's very strict criteria about how those interconnections need to be valved. So.
Correct. And I know there's overlap right now that the folks within the Drinking Water Division of the State Water Resources Control Board that are working on for the workshop that I went to about this cross-connection control handbook that they're working on putting together, that will be our template for our program and other water districts' program. And they were not aware of the conflict between what they're writing and what the plumbing code says. So there came to a bit of a snafu. So they're working that out now with the plumbing code. And but it does look like the way it's currently written, that there could be a choice that the homeowner has to put in different devices. So I will share that information with you as well and with this particular individual. And then I just had the town hall, which Director Saunders already covered. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Okay.
Only thing I had is I just wanted to report on about our first Eldora County Water Agency Board meeting a few weeks back now on a Wednesday. Pretty light agenda. It was just kind of getting to know everybody pretty much. And actually, we have our next meeting tomorrow, so obviously report back at that. But for the last meeting, I was made the alternate to the Mountain Counties Water Resource Association board as well, so I could potentially be attending. I mean, I attend a lot of those meetings anyways, but if maybe on a more formal basis, Supervisor Parlins are the lead and then I'm the alternate, so if she can't attend, then obviously I'll back her up. So that's all I got.
Great. Thank
Excuse
you.
Me.
General Manager Report.
Okay, well, I've only been here a little more than a week, but I do have a report. For those of you who I haven't met, I'm Jeff Nelson. I'm the interim general manager. Just want to say that, first off, we have two staff that are on vacation this week. And we have a new staff member that started yesterday. And we still have another open position that needs to be filled. So we're a little short-handed this week. And then we're going to go really heavily into preparing the budget for the next fiscal year. Let's see, I'm working with council to engage the firm that was selected to help with the advertising and selection of the new general manager.
Correct.
So we're talking about that today. And we're going to update the GM brochure, and then the board will have an opportunity to review the brochure once it's updated. Going to be posting the finance committee notice of vacancies in the next day or two. I'm just going to update the old description. It looks like it hasn't been updated in like 3 or 4 years. And I did take a tour of the ALT treatment plant yesterday, and as well as the storage tank that's the subject of item 7A. So that was pretty neat. I still haven't been able to see the rest of the system yet, so hopefully now I'll have a chance to do that over the next few days. I've met with all the directors except Director Halpin, so I look forward to getting a chance to chat with you. And my schedule, I'm a part-time, so I'm going to be here. Right now my schedule I think is going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Fridays. But that may shift a lot, but right now that's going to be my schedule. And I will send you all out my schedule this Friday, letting you know what it's going to be for next week. So, and that's my report.
Thank you, and welcome aboard.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
30-something years in the water business?
Yes.
You have a wealth of information.
Well, this district is different. They're all a little different, so it's I get a chance to learn some things, too, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. Operations, Daryl?
One other thing.
I'm sorry.
GDTA appeal.
Please.
So the Georgetown Divided Taxpayers Association appealed the lower court decision that affirmed our rate increase. So we'll have that in closed session next month.
You're up, Daryl.
All right, everything's going well in the system. I feel like I say the same things every month.
You do.
Same old thing over and over. You already read it.
I don't even know why we asked you.
I know.
It's a good job.
So things are going well out there. As Director Saunders mentioned, it'd be nice when our new software gets in. So when we have water breaks on certain areas of the divide, it would be easier to notify customers, hey, if we have a break, here, possible timelines of repair, things like that. That'll be nice, because there was one that happened on his street last week.
That's actually a form of notification.
Yes. Didn't pay his bill.
They're like, you didn't like that board. This is
so that'll be nice when we get that. That was all that I wanted to bring up on that, and I know Adam was going to do his reporting, right?
Yeah.
Piggybacking my stuff.
Can I ask you a question? On the second page, property transfer processing, do we have that many every month?
So that's part of the zone. So we actually have more than that. That's just our
really?
Lake trails.
That's just in the ALT zone.
Yeah, and they're picking up quite, I mean, we probably had probably 8 this month. You know, that's February.
They're selling out and moving.
It's springtime, you know, weather gets nice and they start... Yeah, you know, they start putting the house up for sale, I think, with anywhere, you know.
I had a quick question for Daryl before we went to Adam.
Oh. Is it possible, yes, we could add the Stumpy Meadow acre feet as well? I know it's there in the chart, but if we could have the actual number.
Oh, that it's... I guess it's not on there,
yeah,
is it?
It's not on there.
It's 20,000 acre feet on the chart.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't moved, but that's
right.
Also, it'll tie in when we have to do our monthly reporting. That's going to be down the line, but that'll also be helpful to have.
Okay, I'll put up a spot for that.
Is it spilling, Daryl?
Barely, yes. My guys last night were going, or not last night, on Friday were telling me they thought it might stop spilling over the weekend, but it's hanging in there.
So it's spilling?
It's still spilling.
Wow. That's a good sign.
Adam,
you up? Yeah, so I update on the WaterSmart grant that we applied for. I just got award the other day. We did not get it. We didn't score high enough for that grant. And basically it came down to, had a debriefing call, and it came down to water savings. They score a lot higher on the amount of water that you're saving rather than the reliability, as in protecting your supply. So even if they, even reliability was a criteria, it was more water conservation of that, of that water.
I can add with that, because I just talked to State Water Resource Control Board yesterday. They said we're better off applying for our meters for that than that. Because they said that has more of the water savings, so that was one of the things they said that would be an issue.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that later as well.
So there's that. In the zone report, pretty standard. We did do a, we did coat a manhole. It was a really deep one that we didn't really have the capabilities to do. It was 16 feet, and it had a lot of root infiltration, so we were able to do that this month, which was nice. We did some of the roads out of the CDS fields are getting pretty tore because they're steep and going in out there every day. So we did some grading out there, going to add some gravel next couple months just to shore that up so we don't have erosion. We did see pretty low flows this month, but you can see the rainfall. We had zero recordable inches in February, which is obviously pretty unique. So, but I think it's the time we live in. It's feast or famine. So, yeah, but pretty standard for the zone this month.
Just one question for you, Adam.
Yeah.
Can you explain to me again on the property transfers? Can you explain to me the designation 10 minus 5? What does that, is that 10 for one area and 5 for another?
You know,
what does that mean?
So that kind of means that 10, he went out, he had to go back out, 5, and like sometimes they'll do different, like they'll do part of it and they'll go back out and inspect it. So it's kind of almost 10 new ones, 5 additional inspections on top of that. So
that are probably 5 are like unfinished or just started or...
Or there's, they get this inspection, like question comes out and helps them, and it's like, you know, this is what we, you know, specifically have to get done to pass inspection.
Okay.
So I guess I could do a minus symbol, kind of probably isn't the best way to show that, I guess. I was just trying to really tie it to the graphs, you know, or to the bottom monthly labor allocation we had talked about previously. So.
Okay, not a problem. Let's put a note here. Okay, great. Thank you.
One thing I wanted to add, it's really him, but I'm more excited about it right now. Adam's been working with our GIS people on our computer, and the guys just started this week or last week plotting. So when we have water breaks on the map, they're plotting it on the map, saying what it was, when it was, what kind of pipe it was, da-da-da-da. They add a meter, they can put it there. So we've got these little dots starting to appear on our maps, which... It's a big deal to us and over time because we'll be able to track how many breaks we were, where they were, what kind of pipe it is, what's going on, da da da. It's really neat and it's cool too. it's neat technology.
Yeah, and it helps in our reporting to our electronic annual report we do every year. So we're going to be able to, you know, really have that information provided to the state, which, you know, they're always asking us, you know, where is this information? Why don't you have it? So,
yeah, because he can calculate estimated gallons lost by the size of pipe, how long did it leak, by the notes that are left in there.
For that reporting, that's going to be so important.
It's going to be a big deal.
Especially the one that's account for every drop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the GS is going to help with locating shutoff areas, like when a pipe breaks. That's going to help with the software.
Yeah.
Yep. Do you have time to show me that tomorrow?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
So will that be an ongoing project? We'll be working with them from now on for them to help get this done?
Well, right now he's got it to where our guys are doing it, and then they update once a month.
Yeah, so there's kind of two different sections of it. There's like the breaks, which, you know, that just updates. That's a break's a break. Then we have where we add infrastructure, like a meter or adjust where a line is or something like that. That kind of, they put it into there, and then we kind of review it, and then it gets updated.
Great. And is that only for piping, or is that also for ditches when we have seeps and leaks?
You can do it on the ditches as well.
Yeah.
Yep, we can. Right now we're teaching, he just learned it a week or two ago and just taught our distribution crew last week. So I think next is going to be the irrigation crew, getting them, teaching them how to, you know, use a tablet, get on there, how to add a point,
Excellent.
All that.
And then metadata in there?
Yeah.
It'll be cool for the leaks.
The
that are existing. They can mark them all on there, and we might not want them to see them. There probably going to be dots everywhere.
I think, Daryl, you mentioned you had that list already of that you've been keeping for years of that where these are located, and you can start. Will those get added into the system eventually too?
Oh yes, definitely.
Okay, so this is going to be great then to help the general manager going forward with CIP projects to prioritize which ones need to be addressed sooner than later.
And with that the gauging project for the SB 88 that we're doing, that and just other gauges we're putting throughout the system that we can really get a good handle and improve supply and demand that the state's asking for.
Right. So the gauging locations will be actually on the GS map as well.
Yeah, it's something we can add.
Great. Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks for bringing that up, Daryl. Don't forget that next time, Adam. It's good stuff.
There's all kinds of things.
Finance committee. Is there anybody from the party?
Oh. Yeah.
He was hiding.
I was. It's the best place to be.
Hiding.
I'm Don Waltz, Secretary of the Finance Committee, and standing in for Steve Miller, who was asked to provide some transportation to San Francisco by a longtime friend of his. The friend's wife was being transported to San Francisco via ambulance. Steve decided that it was an urgent matter and asked me to represent him, so you're stuck with me right at the moment. I'm sorry for you.
Thanks for being here.
I provided you two pieces of information. One is a draft of the minutes for the meeting that the Finance Committee held last week. And the second is a summary of that meeting. And the idea for the summary I stole from Ken Pauley. It was his suggestion during the last meeting that we, the Finance Committee, put together something like this for your benefit.
I think this was helpful. You know, I was going back through it, and this jumped out at me to be helpful.
Great.
Good idea.
Like I said, Ken's credit.
Go ahead and take credit.
Thanks, Ken.
So the main gist of this report is discussion of the information that was presented by Mr. Nelson to the Finance Committee. That information consisted of a fourth quarter report of the district's budgeted versus actual revenues and expenditures for the 2018-2019 fiscal year, and the first quarter and mid-year same information for the current fiscal year, FY 2019-20. The last item that we discussed was a review of the timeline for the development of the 2021 budget. But the discussion about the actuals and the budgeted information generated comments regarding the use of some of the headings that were presented to us. And that was pretty much resolved by staff indicating that they would, in the future, include a cover sheet explaining the time periods that were involved in the reports.
Emily, we're also hoping that the new accounting system will be clearer as well.
Yes.
Yeah. They said July is the one of the target times, so we may see that in a couple of months.
Yeah, I've heard that twice now. The July, the new software.
Good point.
It's going to get just before cold fusion.
we'll all be holding our breath for both. Okay, the other comments that that were mentioned about these reports. One, that some of the reports lack certain information. For instance, there were no reports of the transfers to other funds. The other comment was that future water rate recommendations to the board would be developed within the context of the committee's 2021 budget review process. As a consequence, the Finance Committee took no action on its review of the budget data. And it was within the idea that the data would be included in the draft of the 2021 budget, and therefore we would give it a more thorough review at that time. With regard to the timeline for adopting the future budget, the 2021 budget,
Staff indicated it had not begun the process, but it was going to be able to have a draft for the Finance Committee review in April. And our next meeting, the Finance Committee meeting, is April 1st, Good Fool's Day. And it's going to be at 3 p.m. rather than the regularly scheduled 2 p.m. So that concludes my report, and if you have any questions, please toss them at me now, because I'm going to duck out of here.
That's nice and thorough. Thank you. Appreciate these. And this, thanks again. This is a good idea to summarize everything for us. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Can I go with you?
Stop at the bar. All right, new business award contract for tank recoding. Baby's that.
We're on 6E.
Yeah.
6E?
Yeah, what about?
Yeah, we missed one.
Sorry.
Was that intentional?
Yes, it was intentional.
No, I'm fine with it, Daryl. There are just a few things I wanted to go over. We haven't had an ALT project update for several months now. There really haven't been work activities out there to report on. The work is basically complete. I'm working on some punch list items. But there are a few things that I wanted to share with both the board and the public. Last month, we received authorization to file the notice of completion with the County of El Dorado. We did that the following day. There's a 30-day period where all the contractors have an opportunity to file liens, with of which we would be notified. We've got about 13 days remaining before that 30-day period is up, and as of right now, we've received most of the certified receipts back that these contractors, subcontractors, actually received a copy of the filing of the notice, which we were required to do. And we don't have any liens that have been filed as of yet. I don't expect any, but I just wanted to do an update as it relates to any likely liens on that particular project. And again, I'm not aware of any that are outstanding. Most of the notices that I've received, I've even had some direct dialogue with some of the big suppliers as it relates to concrete and different things, building out there on the thing, the electrical, that was a big dollar item. And they've expressed to me they don't have any concerns on getting their final payment. So I think that's good news to report to the board and the community at large. The next topic I really want to commend Gloria Omana for. She did an excellent job following through with all the disbursement requests on the loan. Even though this was a loan with the state, it's not like they just turn over $10 million. That was the total amount of the loan. We had time parameters at the tail end of that to either file for our final payment, or they were only going to pay us. We recently received our final check, $291,000, which exhausted the complete $10 million. I also want to let everybody know, along with those monthly, they were pretty consistently monthly payment requests with the state. We had to do project update reports. She was always on top of that. Making sure that I had all the pertinent information in there to send that to their engineering staff to make sure everything cleared. I just think it's really important to know that part-time staff member did an excellent job, and it allowed us to have adequate operating capital to pay the contractor consistently through this whole project.
I just want to add to that. I don't know how familiar you guys are with state loans and state grants, but it's black and white. If you don't get everything in, all the I's dotted and T's crossed on time, you don't get paid. I mean, they will hold it up. And so that's just another testament to the job that staff did.
Anyhow, she did a great job for the district.
I just back it up to having, as I've said before, having done some of those loans in my professional life. They're very black and white. It's a good way to put it. And you have to have everything, all your ducks in a row, to the least. So
it would have been very difficult without her, because I didn't have the time to dedicate to that effort. I'm not suggesting it was something at a lower level than what I was doing. It was very important. It was very as much important as getting the job done out in the field. So she just did a great job. And then the final item that I had here, I just wanted to talk briefly about the closeout stuff that I continue to work with the contractor on. So I've highlighted some of the things in the very last sentence. We're still I'm still waiting for some of the record documents. That would primarily be all the as-built plans. I've got a set. They were unacceptable. They were sent back to the contractor. They didn't have all the information that I felt I needed on them. So I'm waiting to get that back. Operation and maintenance data, those are O&M manuals. The only one that I'm lacking are the one from, it would be through Central Sierra. I've talked with them on the phone today. They do have that, so I will get it. I just don't have it in my possession. Again, that was a double submittal. The first set that was sent in, it was they were asked for early on, probably 6 months ago, and there were a lot of changes to the SCADA system and the PLC after that needed to be incorporated in that. So I'm to receive those. I just don't have them in my possession right now. I'm still waiting for the spare parts is in order. I've gone over that with the operators and the staff out there on that. We're still lacking an additional radio that we need for the communication parts or some things like that. But we do have an accurate list that we've given the contractor what we're lacking. But the majority of the spare parts, like all the stuff for the filters, we've got all of those. I'm still waiting for the evidence of payment, release of any liens. The contractor has to provide that. And two copies of the special bonds. Warranties together with a contractor's final application for payment. I don't have that final application yet. Regular agenda items on the bid list, there's probably only around somewhere between $5,000 and $10,000 remaining on that final application for payment for that, together with anything that would be included in the in a change order. So that's pretty much a summary of where that's at. Any questions from board or public on that?
Just one. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Is Gloria tied with you? So, when is she finished?
Gloria is actually a Blue Ribbon employee. Yeah. I hope that she can continue on with the district and assist the district as a whole. So, she does continue to assist me, but I think most of the people in this room that work at the district will verify she supplements and assists them. So, I'm very hopeful. Gloria's indicated she'd like to continue on if there's productive work for her to do. So hopefully she'll remain with the district. Real cost-effective employee.
And George, just one question for you. The board approved the 120 hours for you to finish and
right.
work on the punch list.
Right.
Are you making good progress on that? And is 120 hours going to be sufficient?
I want to assure the board and the public I will not exceed that. I want to get this thing done. I don't have reason to believe it would be any more than that. I'm not looking for praise or anything. Oftentimes I spend a little bit more time than that. I don't want to create a big issue with anything, but I also am able to take time off. But I have no plans and I don't envision any need to extend that beyond that.
Thank you.
Thanks. Just a quick question, George. I was reading in the audit a couple nights ago, one of the notes was that the repayment schedule for the loan changes from principal or from just interest and then to principal like a year after the loan is adopted.
Yeah, we're already
in. Completed.
We're already into that. When
okay.
when Steve was still here, the general manager, that was questioned why we had to make that. In other words, our general manager, that being Steve, questioned the state and they said, well, that's how the agreement was structured. You had an opportunity to have that modified. I just want to assure the board that those interest and principal payments have been made according to that amortization schedule. So that's been going on for several months now.
Okay, and then I can, or I guess Jeff or whoever, just email. I'd like to just see the amortization schedule just myself.
Yeah.
Not that I'm just curious.
Yeah, there was a tentative amortization schedule included in the loan agreement itself. I don't think we're very far off that. I can get you a copy of that, but I think
okay.
the person that would have the most accurate one would be Christina. But
okay.
We can get that for you.
If you don't
mind,
please.
At the district level.
Thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
Just thank you for all the work you've done. And when you go to some of these meetings that have staff that work in the admin, that has the amount of staff we have in our entire district. So there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of work individually. So to all the staff, thanks.
Thank you, George.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I praise him all the time when I come into the office. So.
That concerns me. You still have another item, you know.
Yeah, but not right now.
Okay.
That's easy.
Okay, new business. Daryl. back up again.
Okay, it's our time for another tank project. And this will be our fourth year in a row for, you know, recoating another water tank, which this one I think we've talked about already, I think, but Spanish Dry Diggins water tank is a 200,000-gallon tank. It's a small tank, just like last year's. It's never been redone since it was installed in 78. So it's time.
It's time.
And it's actually in pretty good shape, but it needs to be recoated with all the modern coatings that probably won't last half as long, but it's legal. So anyway.
Is it mandated?
Well, that lead paint works much better.
We don't have any lead. So far, we haven't had any lead, luckily. But they...
So it's not mandated that we have to recoat these at a certain amount a year?
No, we have to have them inspected every 5 years. This is this is the fifth year, so they have to all be inspected again this year. And then the inspectors give you a recommendation on, hey, do this one first, this one, you know, da-da-da. We're getting close, though, because, well, the people that won the bid, I'll keep going on this, that we had six bids, $186,800 was the high, $125,005 was the low. So obviously that was Quality Painting and Sandblasting, and they were the low bidder, so they're the ones that I'm bringing the contract to. Last year it was 114 something, so a little more than last year. It's funny, the people with 186 was last year's 114.
Really?
The same contractor. I know, it blew me away.
There was our highest. Changed in their business model, huh?
Something happened.
They got a lot of work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So maybe they didn't want it, or they're busy.
I was just going to say, maybe they got some better customers.
So I wouldn't say that. We're pretty good. We paid them. So anyway, Quality Painting, Sandblasting, and they also did Hotchkiss Hill, Black Oak Mine, and Deer Ravine Tank in 2011 and 2012. So we've worked with them before. And they did a good job on those three tanks. And they, matter of fact, those three, well, they shouldn't be, but they weren't on our list of things to repair yet from the last inspection. Let's see, did I miss anything? We also have construction management already. There's already a contract signed because the general manager, the last one, him too, but Steve was still here with BACC, Bay Area Coating Consultants. They did last year's inspections too. It was within his signing authority, so they're already in contract for the inspection services for this tank. And these guys are ready to jump on it ASAP, especially because the weather's been so good. I mean, I'm hoping to work with Jeff to do the notice to proceed soon after we get the contract dialed in.
Right, and this is a seasonal type project, so...
Yeah, we really want it done.
Time is of the essence.
Yep, before it warms up. Because we need all of our tanks. And then there's an attached resolution that needs to be approved along with this if you approve it.
Question?
President?
Yeah, hang on. I'm reading this.
Okay.
I'm gonna read this over first. Questions? Your name, please.
Carolyn Loomis. So when you have to go recoat a tank, you have to empty it first, right?
Yes.
So where does all that water go?
Just goes on the ground. We have to dechlorinate it and send it down the hill.
Oh.
Yep, we had to dechlorinate it. This tank, we had to dechlorinate it just for them to come inspect it when we had all our bidders come in on that day. Then we had to rechlorinate it, fill it, drain it, refill it, sample it. And so it was a 600,000-gallon process. But you don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, in the summertime, you might be able to try to give it to water customers, but they'd have to have water trucks. It's just standard process. You just drain it and move on.
Thank you.
I had a question that I heard that. Is that something, since we know it's coming along, and that was one of the things they talked about last time, and when you have certain infrastructure items, is that something we report on our water assessment?
So as
far as we know, we're getting rid of 600,000.
Oh yeah, he reports all that.
Yeah, it's all recorded. Yeah.
Yes.
And reported.
Sheree Carline. How many more tanks? Only a couple more past this.
We have 10 tanks.
Oh, 10.
So okay. 4, 5, 6, 7. So there's still 3 more that haven't been done in a long time.
Yeah, they're as old as this one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the plan to rotate again back to number one.
Well, then we'll get our inspections again this year, and they'll tell me Of course, they're going to tell us the three that weren't done yet. Yeah. And one of them is a big one at Angel Camp. It's 500,000 mm-hmm. gallons. So it will obviously be much more expensive. But yes. And then we'll start over with their recommendations. Because I don't think they, from what I know of, they don't, you don't go 30 years anymore. No. I have a feeling we're going to do a tank a year forever.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. Because we have great water. The good thing is we have great water and great coatings. And our tanks aren't in bad shape. When they look in them, they're crystal clear to the bottom. You don't see any rust. Mm. They're always shocked. They think where they're going to see a bunch. When I say they, tank recoders, inspectors, they come out, and they, even the state, and they think they're going to see all this sediment on the bottom, and we don't have any. We have crystal clear water in all of our tanks. So, yeah. So that's been really good.
Go ahead.
Just a follow-up question. Will the tank recoatings end up on the GIS system so that they can be added to
the
rotation and then added to capital improvement plan so we can see which ones need to be done first next time so we can prioritize coatings?
Yeah, so every project we do, that gets, it's getting updated into the GIS program. So if it's a water line replacement project, if it's a canal line, it's all getting put in there.
Great.
Yeah, or tank.
Yeah. Tank recoding. Yeah. Excellent. Good. Thank you.
It would be great for people that work here 15 years from now. But when was that? And they just click on it and tell them. You don't have to
dig. We have a resolution that we have to vote on.
Oh, yes.
So moved. I move adoption of staff's resolution, their proposed recommendation from staff to adopt the contract as recommended.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, 7B. That you're up again.
Well, I'll take a crack at it, but Daryl is gonna come in and bail me out if I need it. But this is one of the things that Steve gave me right when he was leaving, and this project is complete. This is just the notice of completion. This is seeking approval of the notice of completion. Do you want to add anything?
Well, we've actually talked about this project many times. It was a great project. If you know where it was, when you drive down the road right now, you don't see water where you saw it a few months ago. If you know the areas right out of town here, it's been leaking darn near since I was born over there. And it's always been water coming out by the old Robinson's place and all those, and there's no water there now. It's just, to me, it's awesome. And the ditch is really low right now. I can't wait till summer when we're really putting an eye head in. We're going to save some water. And the customers are going to be a lot, not, actually they're not customers, but the people who live there are going to be happier. It was outstanding. If you haven't seen it, if anybody ever walks over there, it's really cool how they did it. I mean, this was an expensive project, but they not only shot the concrete in there, they troweled it. I mean, the whole ditch is just looks smooth and perfect.
I have to look at it. It looks, yeah. We saw that on Friday, it looked
pretty good. Oh, plus it looks like, which I didn't even know because I didn't write this report. I just saw it today that it came in under budget, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. By quite a bit. The original contract was, what, $840,000? It came in at $708,000. So let's fix some more ditch. We got money left over. Anyway.
That's not the only ditch that they were preparing anyway. I mean, they had some other ditches going on.
Well, for this particular project, it was
just that.
It was one ditch, but there was three sections of the same ditch.
Okay.
Because it was already some older gunite.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay. We have to do a resolution on this one also to create a contractor.
Can we ask a couple questions?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I noticed that this staff report was prepared by Coastline Civil Engineering, so I'm just curious as to whether the district is charged a cost and what that cost might be if staff reports are generated by our contractors. Sir.
So this is my understanding, and Daryl will jump in as well, but there's a number of projects that Steve has assigned to capital improvement project Steve has assigned to Coastline. So they're basically functioning as an extension of staff.
Great.
So,
okay.
So yes, so they would be.
Yeah, this isn't the contractor that did the work. This is the engineering firm that you agreed to engage to help
project manager
oversee these projects.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's our contractor that's coming in as our our project manager for the project.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. So we'll see that, we could see that going forward then, okay.
Right, and there's a couple of new projects that I'm looking through Steve's CIP, proposed CIP list, and there's a couple of projects coming up that he has already recommended that he said I was going to give those to Coastline.
So. Great, okay. And then the other comment that I have is, since there was an adjustment from what was budgeted to what the project actually came in at, that the, I think, Jeff, we've already talked about updating the CIP.
The budget.
The budget within the CIP,
right.
Because it's tied to the budget.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. We'll apply this savings elsewhere.
Perfect. Okay. Great.
It's gonna end up